Death makes us do funny things. And if you're a part of this church and you didn't know it 18 months ago, you know it now. It's been a rough stretch for all of us. There's not a family here that's not been touched by death in an intimate way in these past couple of years. And in looking over it, you see things that are funny. You see things that come in, people that come into a church for the first time in a decade because someone died. And you see people who have not spoken to one another in 15 years come together and have a conversation. And you see people who talked with their siblings every day for the past 15 years suddenly stop because death makes us do funny things. I was at a Sigma Chi reunion in 2011, and a woman who I had known in college named Sandy Lee came up to me and said, "How are you doing, Nathan? I haven't spoken to you in the past couple of years." And at that moment, I looked at her, and she had not been a particular friend of mine in college. I knew her. We were friendly, but we had never kept up and had no reason to. I had no idea what she was talking about, no earthly idea, and I basically said that. And she said, "Oh, you know, when Alex died." And then these memories that I had locked up somehow. I remember that he died because I went to his funeral in West Virginia. And that's not something I'm ever going to forget. But I had forgotten that I had spent hours on the phone with people I had not spoken to in a decade as we tried to figure out who was going and what we could do, all of us who remembered him. And for some reason, my mind said, "You don't need that information anymore, and I'm going to lock it up and throw away the key." And it's just a funny thing. I'm the guy that remembers, and this had gone totally. Because death so often is the end of a future you might have had. In his case, it was the future in which many old slights got repaired with the dimming of time. But so many other times, it's so much more important because it is the future in which you have your mother to talk to when you have a bad day. And it's the future in which you see your children flourish before you. And it's the future in which you can share the burden of caring for relatives with your siblings. And then that future ends. And we can't really bear the burden of having that contingency on all our plans. I'll go to Germany next year if I live that long. I'll celebrate this in a few months if I live that long. I'll go grocery shopping tomorrow if I live that long. But then a death happens and we realize that everything we plan is contingent. And we have to live in that space for a little while, and we do funny things with that grief and with that emotion and with that loss, that understanding that the plans we made and the world as we imagined it is not the world as it is. And you know, in this case, in this story, we see the same thing. Because in the north, and with Jeroboam in the south, people knew what the world was. People had expectations. They understood what the world where Solomon was king was all about. And in the north, they may not have always been happy with the taxes or the lash, but they understood that world. They had a predictability to it that caused them to live their lives from week to week and from day to day. And Rehoboam, the same way, he was Solomon's heir. And he knew what that world looked like. But then Solomon died. And everyone found themselves in a new world. Jeroboam, who had been exiled, saw a world in which there might be room for him again. In the north, there was fear and confusion, I'm sure, that caused them to come down and ask Rehoboam, "What is this new world that we live in?" And for Rehoboam, it was the pain of creating that new world with the sudden understanding that his body too was fragile. That just as Solomon died, he would die. How can he establish that he is king and not risk being overthrown and killed by Jeroboam? And so they come from the north, and the old elders say, treat them kindly, they will remember it, as Solomon must have done at some point. But his advisors told him, no, the new world that you create must be one in which you are king, in which you have separation from them, in which you have power. Remember your legacy now and establish it now, because if you are weak, they will remember it. And so, being guided by the fear that his weakness would be his undoing, Rehoboam treated them unkindly and said, this new world you are going to live in is going to be worse than before. And then a funny thing happened. The people in the north said, our family before, with Jesse's line as king, with Jesse's descendants ruling over us, does not exist anymore. Where we had this leader of the family, Solomon, and we knew what that family was like, now he is dead, and we are in a new family, and we are in a new place, and we have choices to make about how to create our world around us. And we will do it by separating and dividing this kingdom. We will leave you in Judah and remind you we are not family anymore. And this is such a common story with death in our own families. We have understood the family with our parents at the head, our relations with our siblings, as long as the parents are there too. And there may be good things and there may be bad things, but they are our things and they are our family. And the loss of a parent, especially, changes that. And we say, my life defined by being the son or daughter of a particular person is now changed. Perhaps my life is the life defined by being a parent or a sibling. And I must choose what this life will look like. And that happens just at that moment where you'd like to have someone to talk to about what this feels like. You'd like to have someone to talk to about the change that has just gone on in your life. And you pick up the phone and there's no one to call. And so in that grief, we do funny things. And that's why I think it is so important that in the stories that we tell, we look always to the broken body of Jesus Christ. Because we live in fear of death. And when we are reminded of death so often, we do things to separate ourselves from others in order to fool ourselves into thinking that we are not going to die. When we hear people have died of lung cancer, we sometimes think, well, they were a smoker. Well, they should have exercised more. Well, they should have worn different clothing and protected themselves better and made better choices. We don't always say that, but we say it a lot. And when we do, what we're doing is saying, what makes us different from this person who has died? And that is why I think Jesus' death is such a great gift to us all, because it is a reminder that we are going to die. Even Jesus, the incarnation of God walking around us, died, broken and bloody on a cross. And this death is what awaits us all with certainty. And that certainty gives us the freedom to say, I do not need to find the excuse of why I am not going to die. I can look around and say that it is certain that I will go into death, and that therefore death holds no fear for me. For all who have lived have now died or are now dying, including me and including all of us here. Where is the hope in that? The hope in that is the reminder that our lives are fleeting and precious, and they are too fleeting and too precious to be absorbed with fear and with worry about what the next day is going to bring. They are so precious that we may celebrate our lives every day, that we may celebrate the lives of people we love every day, and that we may remember all of the people who have brought us this far every day in joy and in hope. Because all of these people who died live on in our memory, live on in our traditions, live on in our celebrations, live on with us. Jesus' death was not something his disciples expected. And the manner of his resurrection was not something his disciples expected. The resurrection comes in unexpected ways, in unexpected times. And as we think about the certainty of our deaths, we may also think about the certainty of resurrection. On a day we are not looking for it, we will see the sign of a resurrected people, of resurrection all around us, whether it is blossoms in the spring or the look in a child's face that reminds us of time past. Because in all of the deaths that changed our families around us, there is also hope and opportunity. Jesus said he came and would divide families. And this was a hopeful thing, because as we lose those we love, as we miss their presence in our lives, we also have the opportunity to choose what our new life is. To recognize that in grief we have been transformed into something new. Just as in death, Jesus Christ was transformed into something new, and in his death, the church on earth was transformed into something new. The disciples thought it was all over in his death, but when he died, they learned they had to go on and went on to new heights that we now inherit. So on this day, we celebrate the lives that have brought us here thus far. The lives that have imaginations for the future in them, and remembrances of the past. And we remember, and we celebrate, and we thank God.